I actually love the invitation of recalibrating, because it opens up other, other ways of really defining where we are right now, so we can either resist it or we can recalibrate the space of chaos that we are in. Our internal response when we're thrown into chaos is to either ignore it, to either fight it, or to just say, okay, how can I get out of this as quick as possible? So I see it as a nice invitation to really properly, sink into chaos, and at the same time, like what you said, recalibrate in ways that would suit your businesses.
Welcome to the Happy Entrepreneur Podcast. This is a podcast for people who look at business differently. It's for founders, freelancers, change makers, and freedom seekers who want to make money, do good, and be happy. We choose the path of the happy entrepreneur not to get rich, but to express ourselves and serve others in the most authentic way we can. Many of us couldn't find our role by working for others, and so we chose to work for ourselves. We took the more uncertain path, not because we wanted to, but because we needed to. We value learning, play, and friendship, and we have a need to make a meaningful impact in the world. By following the path of the happy entrepreneur, we learn as much about ourselves as we do about business. On this podcast, I have conversations with other happy entrepreneurs from different walks of life, industries, and countries. We talk about the journey and about what we learn about ourselves along the way. For us, entrepreneurship isn't just a way to make money, but a journey of self-discovery and growth. If you're on the same path and are looking for inspiration and connection, then this podcast is for you. Hiya, this is the third in the series of weekly episodes of our live podcast with myself and Lawrence, reflecting on the past week and what's going on in these uncertain times. The core message of this episode is around how we navigate our internal world to better navigate the external one. This week, we're joined by Lana Yelenyev, a learning experience designer and community alchemist. We discuss the ideas of recalibrating in this time of chaos, and Lana shares her thoughts and ideas on chaos and the opportunities it offers. She talks to two aspects of chaos: the chaos we are experiencing ourselves and the chaos experienced by our clients. During the conversation, we offer thoughts and ideas on how to deal with the internal chaos, and also how to help others who find themselves in chaos too. Enjoy.
I think we should probably start this properly, yeah?
Yes. Let's get it on.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Happy Entrepreneur Live. The theme of this episode is recalibrating while in chaos. And we have a chaos expert with us today. Lana, the chaos pilot, is going to help us understand what it means to be in chaos. And then, Lawrence and I, we're going to kind of reflect on what it means to be a business during this time, and the kind of decisions that we're having to make, and also where to make them from. And I think the first topic I think we're going to talk about was this idea of recalibrating. And maybe you want to lead on that, Lawrence. Just like, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think we're all going through this period of trying to adjust this new normal. And it's, for me particularly, trying to find some balance when all around you is evolving. So for me, it's trying to find that equilibrium again, really. Like, what does a new routine look like? What does a new pace look like for work and living? Particularly, some of us have got kids at home or partners at home that we're not used to being around. So there's a lot of change. And so I'm trying to find that new balance. And I know from having conversations with a lot of people in our community, it's trying to take control of things, and control the things you can do when maybe all around you isn't as in balance as we'd like it to be. That's my perspective.
Lana, any thoughts about the recalibrating?
Yeah, I actually love the invitation of recalibrating, because it opens up other ways of really defining where we are right now, You know, so we can either resist it, or we can, like what you said, recalibrate, you know, this space of chaos that we are in. I'm just looking at, you know, like our internal, what's this, response when we're thrown into chaos is to either ignore it, to either fight it, you know, or to just say, okay, you know, how can I get out of this as quick as possible? You know, so still not putting, you know, giving enough space to understand what this chaos is about, you know, what is it teaching us? What are we learning from it? What are we getting from it? So I see it as a nice invitation to really properly, you know, sink into chaos and at the same time, like what you said, recalibrate in ways that would suit your businesses. You know, is this a period of pausing? Is this a period of pivoting? You know, those are all a lot, you know, questions that we can take in during this period.
Cool. Thanks, Lana. A real live example for me of non-recalibration. I was talking to someone this morning and they're delivering a program to a company, an organization at the moment. And they, you know, as part of their project plan, is a launch date of the end of May.
Mm.
And over the past couple of weeks, for this period, they'd planned all these in-person workshops and really interactive stuff, and now they can't do any of that. And they've having to scramble around and work out how to do it online and how to use news tools and how to create the same experience using Zoom and other elements and all the collaboration stuff that they need to do. And there's no sense of, shall we pause or extend the deadline? The organization says, no, got to do it. It's real excited. You know, we'll all be out of lockdown at the beginning of June anyway. So let's get this done now so that we can get the work. You can go running in June. It's like, and this poor person is stressed, anxious, working like all hours of the day, trying to get the staff working well. And even just the idea of pausing,
and
thinking, actually, should we recalibrate the deadlines? It's entering into her mind, but it's the issue of broaching it with management seems to be a challenge.
Mm. That makes me think a lot of, I think Alex Kirchhoff talked about this a few years ago in Summer Camp about conformity and how often when we're in an environment where people aren't encouraged to question things, that we just conform and we're scared to maybe ask those questions about, actually, is it possible to move the deadline to June or maybe even further or later?
Yeah.
It also makes me think of, I'll never forget this. Everyone seems to remember where they were when 9/11 happened. And I remember I was freelancing at the time in London in this design agency, and they had a big boardroom with like the big widescreen TV, and they were showing the second plane hit the tower, and literally, almost everyone was standing there just in disbelief of what was happening. But there was a good maybe 10, 20 people who were just like heads down doing their work, doing their spreadsheets, literally did not look up. And just for that day, just were so into their work that they just couldn't get out of that bubble of doing what they were told to do that day. And I've seen that lately a lot with people, not a lot, but a good few people who are trying to carry on business as usual, despite all of this around them changing so quickly, because maybe it's scary to, like you said, pause and reflect and recalibrate. So I wonder if there's a bit of fear there when people think about, yeah, moving things that were certain and now adding that uncertainty to it.
Yeah, I can imagine for these people that, you know, giving space to what's going on with them is scary, because it opens up a lot of, okay, so what do I do now? You know, what is expected? And working within the, you know, old status quo is easier, because then they know, oh, this is just what I can do. You know, if I can, as much as possible, continue doing what I've been doing before, then that's a territory that I know.
Is so one way I look at the what's going on here is coronavirus is a mirror. And basically, it's an invitation to look in this mirror and to see what you see. And I could identify three possible ways of tackling this. And I think we've covered this: head in the sand, headless chicken, or head in the present. And I think, you know, head in the sand for me is very much around denial. And just, I can't deal with this, so I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing.
That was Donald Trump about 3 weeks ago.
Then there's headless chicken. I'm going to try and do everything to help
Donald Trump. Donald Trump now.
And maybe we'll evolve to, he'll evolve to head in the present, which I think, Lana, what we're talking about here is like sensing what is not only going on around me, but also going on within me, so that I act or respond, I should say, from a place of consciousness rather than, oh, I just need to protect myself or do something.
And I can also imagine that for a lot of people, we are so programmed to this mindset of, oh, you need to just persevere. You know, no matter what life throws in your way, you need to persevere. So our natural tendency to things is, I just need to persevere. And pausing and pivoting can be something that they're like, oh, I don't really know that.
I think, like you said, it's scary, isn't it, to open yourself up to uncertainty. I think we talked about this last week a little, that entrepreneurs tend to be more comfortable with that. Not saying it's easy at the moment. Everyone's trying to navigate this, how this affects their businesses, but we're having to react to new information all the time. And we can have everything worked out, and often when we think everything's worked out, something comes to surprise us. So we have to be more agile and maybe a little more resilient about change, even though this is obviously a huge, huge change that's impacting everyone. One thing I'm conscious of is maybe some people on the call don't know who Lana is or even who we are.
We just jumped in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's true. We need to talk about this stuff.
Who are we? Who are we to start spouting out aphorisms and judgments?
Depends what day of the week you ask.
Should we kick off? Lawrence, why didn't you introduce, for those people who stumbled across this crowdcast broadcast, talk about the Happy Startup School and what we were about then.
Is that you throwing it back to me?
Yes.
I remember that. I mean, the reason I say that is, like you said, this is a crowdcast. First time we've done this since we first tried it, and it didn't end well about 3 years ago. So people might stumble upon this once it's live. So the Happy Entrepreneur is, I think, your baby at the moment, or has been, which is a podcast that you've been doing for about a year now. Is that right?
Yes, a year now.
Yeah. And I believe you did 50 in the first year, so you hit your goal, which is amazing. And it's pivoted from the Happy Startup Community podcast to Happy Entrepreneur, which I feel is the direction we've been heading since, well, probably about 3 or 4 years ago now, which is really focused on the person behind the business, not necessarily the business itself or even the stage of business. And so we love hosting conversations, and I think there's no one better than Lana, who we've been working a lot with on our 2020 vision program lately, and some of the people in the chat, Andre, Joel, maybe others are part of that cohort. And you've also been helping out loads with loads of webinars and online workshops for our community. So we've got a lot of value from working with you, and I know loads of other people have as well.
Yeah. And so for me, the pivot to the Happy Entrepreneur in terms of just owning that name made most sense for me because of this idea of reframing. And I think we're going to be talking about reframing in a bit. And it's, I think what we're on is a mission of reframing the idea of business. And a lot of people, they see business as purely a money-making exercise. How can I maximize profit? Or how can I just create enough money to survive? And that's kind of that scarcity fear mindset, I believe. The reframing that I think we're trying to do is, how can I think of business not only as a way of making money, but also as a way of learning about myself? And a lot of people try to start think, oh, you know, if I'm going to start an idea, what's the idea, or what's the mission, what's the purpose? Particularly people who come to us, you know, I want to be more purpose-driven, but what does it mean, and what is my purpose? And what we found, actually, you discover it by doing stuff. And so if you think about helping people is a way of discovering who you are, and then when you discover who you are, you can help people better. So rather than it start at one point and do it, and then you find your purpose and then and make it happen, or make it happen then discover your purpose, it's like this to and fro, this back and forth. And this is what I've found, even like just doing the podcast, talking to people like Lana and other people just doing this journey to understand how can I help, how can I be of service, and then through that learning more about themselves, you get to this point of actually, I'm just being me, and I'm making an impact, and that's what we'd love for more entrepreneurs to think of business in terms of that way. And this hopefully leads into Lana, because Lana is just her, and she just creates so much impact. So why don't you tell people what it is? Who are you, Lana?
Who am I? Oh, it's difficult. Depending on like what the Lauren said, depending on the hats, you know, that I fill in. Overall, you know, I would say what I do is really focusing more on contribution. The red thread that I see myself in, you know, the work that I do for Dream CDU as a learning experience designer and as a community alchemist is really focusing on connection and contribution. So this is also why I love working with the two of you, because the message of contribution and connection is very clear. In the different projects that I'm involved in, I often see that there's a big desire to shift or to change, you know, what is going on, either, you know, be it with work, with a certain, a specific foundation. It differs in the strategies, yet the needs are very much the same, and that is to contribute to a better society. And I love what you're doing with, you know, the Happy Startup School. We're in the main goal is really of, okay, starting from the self, and then how can that self flow out, you know, not just to the work that they're doing, but also to their communities and also to the services and the products that they're creating. I think there's quite a lot of misconceptions that we have when it comes to doing work that needs reframing and that needs a different mindset. And this is why I love having these conversations, because if we can offer, you know, a different way for people to just, hey, you know, do we have pivoting and, you know, pausing as part of our language? That's already a big thing, just to question that, you know, just to be able to have those questions. And I would even use the word percolate, you know, let it simmer, let it, you know, brew. And at the same time, you know, just let it sink in. So, yeah, so I'm glad to have these conversations with you, especially with regards to chaos, you know, the global space that we are all in.
We've got four more P's, Lawrence, now. Pivot, persevere, pause, and percolate.
That hurts my head. But now, going back to what you said, Lana, you know, we've had people call some of our events a decelerator. You know, you think of startup innovation, there's a lot of talk about acceleration and moving fast and breaking things, and that language is all about speed, you know, which can have its place, I think, in putting ideas out there. But I think you alluded to the fact that sometimes slowing down is actually, you know, the most productive or creative thing you can do if you want ideas to settle, and the creative process isn't a straight line anyway. That's what I've seen. I think what you're alluding to is sometimes these ideas happen when you least expect them.
I totally agree with that.
Just a quick shout out to the people who joined us at the moment. We have Emma, Sarah, Andre, Marina, Annette, Joel, Chris, and Sally. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, there's an actual a facility to ask a question on Crowdcast. So please go ahead and ask. If any thoughts come up for you while we're talking and you have a question specifically for Lana, maybe, and we're gonna pick her brains about the chaos in a way. Please post that in the questions. And then, or if you just have a comment, just say hi. If you haven't said so already, just put something in the comments. It'd be really nice to hear from you. We were talking, you're talking about the pausing and the percolating. Or just basically processing what's going on. The moment, I think we talked about also the fear of sitting with that. Maybe you can speak to your work about chaos and navigating chaos, with hopefully the intention to help anyone who's not knowing what to do and how to readjust.
Yeah. One of the topics that really drew me is this space of chaos, and that's based from my work with the Satir Change Model, which in essence is it's a framework to see where our journeys are in life. And chaos, for my own sense, is actually a very interesting time, because it's a place of creativity. You know, it's really, I don't know if you've seen news of how people are doing things, you know, creating new stuff. And I'm originally from the Philippines, and whenever I look at the news from the Philippines, it's like, oh, this, you know, this university created test kits, you know, this. So it's really a fertile period of creativity, because people are looking for solutions. You know, we want to get out of the funk, and we want to get out of it as immediately as possible. So chaos is actually a place to really, thrive, because this is where ingenuity can come in. This is where innovation can come in. And this is where solutions that we often don't, you know, that we don't often don't see, like what Lawrence was saying a while ago, when we pause, sometimes we just also get to that idea of, oh, maybe this is what I can do. And it's mainly because we haven't paused long enough, you know, to get into that state. And right now we're entrusted into this, you know, pandemic, global pandemic of chaos. And now the question is, yeah, how are we embracing it? You know, how are we making it as a part of our life journey, you know, our business journey, and in such a way ensure that we can get out of chaos with as much learnings, as much growth as we possibly can. And that's why I also advocate more for, instead of PTSD, you know, that there is such a term as post-traumatic growth. This can be traumatic for a lot of us, but if we can harvest as many learnings as possible, then we can get out of this, you know, with post-traumatic growth rather than post-traumatic stress.
Nice.
I'd love to know, Lala, what your thoughts are on, you know, it feels like lots of people, like Carla said before, trying to fill the space with, you know, naturally, I think if there's a void of work or void of income, or we've suddenly got a lot of time on our hands, to not fill the schedule with anything. When you're talking about pausing and reflecting, are you saying just try and clear the decks fully, or is there can you keep things moving while still being able to be in this phase?
That's a very good question. I think it boils down also in terms of needs. You know, what is needed right now? For those people who, say, for example, have the financial ability to really pause, take this privilege, you know, take this time, take this opportunity. Of course, when you have other obligations, like what you said, Lawrence, you know, what if you're problematic about the finances? You know, so there are things that needs to be attended to as well. So I would say, you know, look into your own situation of what's your availability for that. You know, where is it possible for you to add in those pockets of pausing or stillness? So, like, say for myself, I often do already, you know, my morning journal, and just really enjoying the stillness around 6 o'clock in the morning. And right now I'm even enjoying it some more, because all of a sudden there's three other humans inside the home, and there's just not enough space of stillness, because there's constant, you know, talking, constant engaging with people. So finding what works is definitely important. And that's also why I love the rituals practice. You know, how can we make rituals for specific routines, or having a rhythm during this period of chaos? It might be chaotic, but it's something that we can internally, you know, set for ourselves.
So it sounds like finding pockets of calm amidst the storm, almost, particularly if you've got kids at home, and trying to find these little moments of quiet to create a little space between, you know, whatever it is you're trying to do, rather than, because I find I'm context switching the whole time now. It's like, oh, 1 minute helping kids with something, and next thing you're trying to do work, and next thing trying to help family, whatever. There's so many, we're getting input from so many places at the moment. It feels like to create a bit of calm for yourself. And it sounds like you're doing that nice and early in the morning.
And it doesn't have to be too long, you know. It doesn't have to be like, oh, an hour for yourself. As long as you set the intention of reconnecting with yourself, I don't know, like, is it a regular practice for you to really check in, you know, hey, Carlos, how are you doing today? You know, hey, Lawrence, how are you doing today? And really having that as a space of asking yourself rather than waiting for somebody else to ask you. This is something that I've taken in from the past few years that, oh, you know, I can do this check-in process for myself that helps me recalibrate and that helps me really sink in of, oh, am I running around like a headless chicken right now? Or am I totally open to just adding some more periods of rest or some more periods of doing some creative stuff? So this is I think, is something that as entrepreneurs, this is also something that we need to cultivate within us, you know, that having that check-in moments for ourselves.
So I think maybe one thing to help anyone who's listening to this, because some people feel they have to do things. There's need to go out and make things happen, or they can't sit still. Like you were saying, for some reason, they don't feel they can sit still. Is there something from your work and understanding of NVC that can help inform people when they're doing that check-in as to the motivations behind their reactions?
And this is interesting. I already see Andrew has adopted my alarm clock example, because this is also how I started this check-in process. I put an alarm every 9, 12, and 6 o'clock. There's just a simple alarm clock that goes on, and then there's just a question, how are you? And just taking a moment to pause. What you were asking, you know, Carlos, that this is, again, going back to that practice of knowing oneself, you know, knowing oneself deeply enough to understand what are our feelings, you know, and what are the needs behind those feelings. And sometimes, again, this is either parenting, either culture. There's quite a lot of factors involved. But sometimes we have more like a superficial understanding of how we're feeling at the moment. And because it's on the superficial level, we can't access what we fully need. And because we cannot fully access that, you know, we cannot also request what it is that we need. So having that pause, you know, setting that pause time is very beneficial, because then you get to also really ask yourself, oh, why am I triggered? What is it that, you know, what is it about this situation that is triggering me? If you're feeling anxious about something, you know, why am I anxious? Where do I feel that anxiety in my body? And then somehow it's like talking to it, you know, and really having that conversation with yourself of, okay, I'm feeling anxiety here by my tummy. You know, what is this anxiety? How can I connect this with something that I've experienced before? And from there to explore, okay, so this is what I need right now. You know, I need some stillness, or I need some rest. Yeah. So there's different ways to explore this. I think it's really a matter of how deeply can you connect with yourself? And yeah, starting it off.
And that's, for me, I'm totally sold on the idea of nonviolent communication and how you can use that to act more powerfully in the world. And what the connection I have with what you're saying there is this idea that every action that we take is in order to meet a need.
Yeah.
And so whether we start trying to control our surroundings, whether we start making things, whether we stop, whatever it is, if you can identify what that need is and where that's coming from, then that's going to help you decide, is this the right response? And for me, a really good example is I really do have a need for control. And there's something, and there's my own story around that, and there's all the. And so when I start imposing on other people, then I have to check, what is that from? Where's that coming from? And then if I understand where it's coming from, then I can be a bit maybe more compassionate and accepting of myself, that then changes how I respond. So rather than saying, okay, I need to control everything around me to stop this horrible feeling, maybe I've got to say, actually, is that need again that's coming up? Maybe it isn't something that's to do with the stuff around me, and it's really to do with something in myself. And if I can accept that, then maybe I can then do a better thing rather than a reactive thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm reminded of this workshop that I did with Gary Reese about sitting in the fire. You know, wherein we had this 5-minute exercise wherein we really escalated the topic. You know, just really, it's like, like burning wood, you know, you just added some more just to keep the flame going and then cooling it, you know, quickly. And in that, you know, in that exercise, I was reminded of, we're so uncomfortable to sit in the fire, even of our own emotions, that just the mere thought of, oh, I'm going to explore my anger, my anxiety, my fears. It's just like, it's not part of our vocabulary. It's not part of our practice. And given a space of chaos, it's surfacing a lot of emotions right now. And if there's anything that's important during this time, it's to acknowledge, you know, what we're feeling. And as a parent, if you're feeling frustrated about this situation, articulate that, you know, articulate it to your kids, articulate it to the people around you, so that you can know what's your inner state and be able to also, address that, you know, and help you cope with things. It's the same way if, say, for example, you're feeling, fearful about this, just share, where are those fears coming from? You know, are they deeply rooted to your own childhood? Are they deeply rooted to your fear about, not being good enough, you know, not being able to do things? So there's quite a lot of things that would surface during this space of chaos. And my suggestion is really to acknowledge, what are these emotions that are surfacing, and how can you give space for this?
It makes me think of our friend Johnny Miller. Very sadly lost his partner a couple of years ago, and he gave a TED talk I think quite recently about the gifts of grief, and how when he lent into the grief he was experiencing, that it's given him, and maybe like you alluded to, that idea of post-traumatic growth. You know, it feels painful and scary, and sitting in the fires, even that expression sounds painful, but it feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's like, what does that give you in terms of, often happiness and sadness can be very close together, you know, rather than polar opposite, they can actually be closely aligned. So it feels like it's sitting with that feeling is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah. And I love the word that Carlos already put out, compassion, you know, compassion to yourself. I think this is also chaos is also a place wherein we can invite more compassion for ourselves and for others, because we're all navigating in this, you know, scary, uncertain, complex experience. So we're dealing with it in different ways. You know, my way of dealing it would be different from how you're doing it. And having more compassion for ourselves and for others enables us to see it in that lens of, oh, this person might be dealing with it in this way. Then how can I connect with, you know, with him, with her, given the situation? And this is that, you know, of how can we invite, you know, this embracing of chaos and recalibrating lives, you know, our businesses, our connections. And I think one of the things that helps me a lot during this period is adding more contribution as a practice, you know. So having contribution as a lens also to be firm in our purpose. In one of our elder calls, I have a group of council calls that I attend to, and one of my elders, you know, she shared about, you know, fall in love with your vision and your purpose. This is the time that we can do that. You know, how can we fall in love with that vision and purpose that we have for ourselves? So we're given a very, very fertile time to explore that.
I love that.
It's interesting, the whole falling in love with the vision and purpose, because we had a conversation recently around that. And sometimes there's a disconnect, or even the question like, what is my purpose? What is my vision? And that really can be a challenge for a lot of people. And it's one of those things, no one thinks about it until it's really important and it's really a problem. So for instance, now a lot of people are trying to scrabble around what to do next, and they're reacting to either losing a job or projects not being happening, or everyone needs to get online. So what's the opportunity for me to just try something I've never tried before and sell something that I've never sold before? And that's not linked or grounded to any vision or purpose that you have, because it wasn't there in the first place. And so this is where I see your discussion around needs, understanding what is it you need, can inform how you can contribute best.
Exactly.
And how you do that in community and through contribution.
Exactly. You know, it's really, if you think about it, right, it's how well we know ourselves. And I actually use the term self-fullness. Again, you grew up in that paradigm of, if you think too much about others, you're selfless. If you think about too much about yourself, you're selfish. For me, I found the middle ground as my self-fullness. You know, how much I know about myself and my needs, and how I can attend to my needs and attend to the needs of others and contribute to people. That is my self-fullness. And this I think is that place where we're all invited into. You know, what would reach us at this point? You know, what would nourish us? What would get us reconnected to ourselves? And how are we allowing, you know, this space of chaos to be that period where we can explore this? Yeah. And like what you said, you know, there's quite a lot of people who would think of, I just need to do something. Maybe we can also invite in, how can we be in this period rather than just do?
Let's take it up a level in terms of, like, this is very much, I think, exploring something quite deep within each entrepreneur or founder or person, which can be a bit uncomfortable. Maybe it's like, well, how does that help me? I think we've touched on it on a bit in terms of the clarity. Maybe there's something, you know, maybe to help it connect a bit more, yeah. Maybe we can touch on, how does it help practically, even in a business or as a person who works? You know, because we do touch on it on our programs a bit. So maybe to help that help connect it to something practical, what would you offer?
I would say, you know, let's look at it in terms of who we're serving. And who we're serving right now are also going through this period of chaos. So in the same way that you have your, you know, your own needs of getting out of chaos, they're also trusted in the same space. So this is that first, you know, of, okay, if these people that I'm serving are in a space of chaos, what is it that they need? Yeah. So having a very deep understanding of needs is important, not just for yourself, but also in really being connected, you know, having empathy for the people that you're serving. So this is like a, you know, like peeling the onion. Yeah, you have layers after layers. So when you uncovered one need, there will be another need behind it, and then another need. So how deep do you know, the people that you're serving? So this is, you know, this is a time to recalibrate that of, oh, wait a minute. This is the journey that I've set up for my business, you know, but hey, this is a global pandemic. Nobody predicted this to happen. So everybody's interested in this period of chaos. Now you have to recalibrate that of, oh, this is the journey that, you know, these people are in. How can I connect with that? You know, what is it that I know that they're going through?
So the word that comes up for me here is empathy and knowing, you know, who you want to serve better. And we had a question around this within the program, which Lawrence tried to answer about, you know, how, I think someone was asking about, you know, what's my next step and how do I validate these assumptions of what I need to do and make sure that they're the right thing. And you had some answers around that, Lawrence, in terms of how to go about learning more.
Well, I think it probably goes back down to, yes, I did. There were some practical tips, but ultimately it comes down to that empathy piece and a curiosity, I think, because if you carry on, and I'm sure you've all had this, like I've got LinkedIn approaches from people that are just ignoring the fact that the global pandemic is going on. It just seems so inappropriate to have a cold, email out of the blue without taking, any context into place. So I think we've all experienced this feeling of like, you've not really sensed what's going on for me or for anyone in this world at the moment. So I think it's about that thing of sensing and responding based on what's going on for your customers or for your colleagues or team or anyone in your world, your community. And then maybe that comes back to yourself and is like, what do I need and how can I respond to this better? But yeah, all of it for me comes back down to who do you want to spend time serving, particularly at this time, because that's where the energy is. If you've got energy to help people and there's people you genuinely have empathy for, then I think you'll do the hard bit, which can be, in the case of our program, putting ideas out there, maybe testing out some products. But ultimately, if the audience doesn't connect with your message and what you're trying to say to them in the right tone, then they're not going to listen, really. And if anything, you might end up doing more damage than good,
yes,
as I've experienced, which is you're just not listening. And if you're not listening, yeah, that really annoys people. And that comes from, I feel, a place of fear of, I'm trying to sell something because I need this. Money's running out. I'm anxious and I want to sell something. And you're another person to sell to, which I feel, this period, it's not necessarily a time to make money. It's a time to just be of service. And I think through that period, you'll probably get more, if you think it from a brand point of view, just more awareness and trust from people. If that's a goal from the business point of view, then maybe that's a way to tackle it.
Yeah. Lawrence, you've already alluded to that, the awareness piece. In my work for DreamCDO, a lot of the clients that we're talking, that I'm talking to right now, I'm giving them the caution of, if you have programs that, that goes for 3-6 months, those lengthy integration and practice type of programs, stop. Mm-hmm. Don't do that for now, because that's not what people need. Mm-hmm. And if we go by, this space of chaos, what people are looking for are very tangible solutions to what they are experiencing right now. So if you say, I have a 6 month program and we're going to take you from this to this, it's not going to work. It's just going to fly past their radar, because they can't connect to it. They cannot even see a month ahead from what is going on right now. I personally have that. I don't know, you have, but yeah, just having that, what is in front of me after a month? I wouldn't know. And this is why empathy and really understanding where who you're serving are coming from helps you to also define what services, what products, what programs are most applicable to provide right now that can be of service, that can contribute to their lives, and that can help them, ease their way into this chaos. Mm. And again, it's not for giving them rapid solutions or perpetuating that this mindset of, we have to get out of chaos quickly. No, but it's helping them to navigate through this space of chaos. So the same way that we have to recalibrate our business, the people that we're serving also need to recalibrate their lives.
Mm.
So how can we do that? And how can we serve them better with, say, the tools that we have, the strategies that we know, and just offering those, offering those as anchors, offering those as possibilities for them to adapt, so that when they get out of this chaos, these are practices and strategies that they can go on using, in building in the new status quo, in the new normal.
Mm. I like that. I've got visions of someone sort of clinging onto a ladder, trying to get out of this chaotic, scene, and you're trying to give them little steps to navigate that. Or possibly even, I think you alluded to, just creating space. I think, like we've been trying to do, just creating space for conversation or to to keep that dialogue going rather than here's a solution to give you the 10 steps to getting out of chaos.
I think you hit the nail on the head for me, Lawrence. It's conversation.
Yeah.
And deep conversation. And rather than going in to try and sell something, how can you make this an opportunity to have a conversation with people? And I feel there's two elements of value you can get from that. One, a sense of connection. If you can be with someone and they can feel heard and they can just express what they're going through and you can hold that space, that's already delivering immediate value to them. And if you can then reflect what's going on with them and they feel like, oh, this person understands me, then you're creating a connection between the both of you. Yeah. And if you also have that conversation, you can then also validate any assumptions you had about what this person needed during that process. You can then start thinking about what is it, how can I contribute in the most impactful and valuable way, rather than, oh, I've got this, do you like it, would you like to buy it, is there something you need right now, you know, you're going to get your business online, why don't you try and use this package, I can teach you how to do it, rather than, okay, so where are you at the moment, how are you trying to navigate the situation?
50% off if you enter Corona at the checkout.
Or put the coronavirus code.
I know.
It's crazy.
The reason I think we were both laughing when you were talking before is, you know, you're talking about this idea of selling a 6-month program, and you know, we are kind of midway through that with you on the 2020 Vision program. So hence we were chuckling to ourselves. But the interesting thing is, you know, everyone's midway and it has turned into a point where everyone needs these guide rails to kind of work through, to navigate this period, and everyone's trying to hold on together to get through it, and we're giving them little steps to move forward with it through. And like you said, it is making things as bite-sized that it feels like as possible, rather than here's a big thing, go off and do it.
And then this is also why, you know, when we had this call about what do we do next, and we all agreed on, I think it's a time to just pause, you know, pause the program, pause what we're doing, and just talk and give space. That I've gotten feedback from, like, my buddy group, you know, that they appreciated it a lot, having just that space of sharing, being heard, you know, being acknowledged, being seen, and surfacing whatever emotions are coming. And that for me was more powerful. If you think about it, that's more powerful experience than any product or service that you can provide. You know, just that experience of fully being seen and fully being acknowledged as a person, as with all your needs, with all your fears. And this is something that we shouldn't, you know, shy away from. Again, business was like, oh, you have to be formal, you have to be this, you have to be that. You know, when a lot of times what becomes transformational is when we allow vulnerability to happen. And how are we inviting that in our process? You know, how can we allow people to be vulnerable and to share things? In another project that I'm part of, they even did like a dragon dreaming circle, you know, so a collective dreaming. Just imagine how powerful that is, you know, just to collectively dream what would society be like after this, and to act and to share as if that has already happened. And for me, these are tools that we can share with people. In another community that I'm part of, we started doing healing circles every Monday evening. And anybody who'd want to join, there will be somebody who will facilitate a meditation. So these are opportunities for people to reconnect with themselves, and at the same time, you know, have them that space to fall in love again with their purpose, you know, fall in love again with their vision. And if they don't have a clear vision yet, you know, to be able to give space to explore that.
Yeah, and it feels like, I think we talked about this in the program, when you're wanting to create something new, if you're in a position of, or you're feeling anxiety or fear, or you've actually got very real things to sort out with your business or home life to get straight, then you're not going to create anything of any value, and it's certainly not going to come from the right intention. So I think, like you said, just having a pause makes perfect sense, particularly at the moment, if you can do.
pause. There's this it is, I think this is this tension between pausing and productivity, I think, is what's coming up here. And reframing pausing as the most productive thing you can do.
Yeah.
So yeah. Business and people who feel like there's a lot of need to create and make, thinking, okay, actually, if I just stopped and checked in, how much more value could I create for myself as well as other people?
I've got a quick question on that. And I think there's one thing that's particularly alive for a lot of people is how, I think, Lana, you talked about, you know, you might have money worries at the moment. But this way, the ideal would be you've got a 6-month window of opportunity where you don't have to worry about money and you can sit in this great space and pause and take time out and you're having the perfect life with your family, growing vegetables. Everyone's loving life. There's no arguments. This is the dreaming, was it dragon dreaming circle? but let's assume that for most people that isn't possible.
Yes.
How can we, I think, like, create maybe opportunity when there is money worries? And I'm sure for a lot of people over the next few months, those money worries will be there, maybe more so some than others. But whether to just focus on, do I just get money in and do the quickest thing to bring money in now? Or lean into what I feel is where I'm really most valuable, which is my vision and purpose, which may or may not be that lucrative. Yeah. But, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I would even add the word value. You know, where can you give the most value? And in our body group, Farah framed it very, very well in terms of, when you think of being, you know, asking people for payment for your services right now, it's not about, you know, it's not about greed, or it's not about, scarcity. When you're authentically coming in from a place of, oh, this is what can give value, you know, that exchange is actually beneficial. And at the same time, you can also share that whatever money that comes in because of this value is helping you bring out the best of possible you.
Mm.
And this is something that we can use as a reframing, you know, of thinking, oh, I shouldn't be selling at this time, or I shouldn't be offering this. You know, how about thinking of it as, what is the value that you can create right now for these people? You know, and how is that value applicable in their lives and in their situation right now? And also, what is this value that they're willing to, you know, to pay for? And if you say, okay, somehow you just still, you know, feel icky and in the ill time, you know, to be asking for a rate, you know, there are other ways that you can do it. You know, can you offer a sliding scale, for example? You know, is this something that you can, you can share to people of, hey, if you cannot afford this, these are my payment terms. You know, so there's different ways, there's different strategies that we can explore. And I think it's just not being stuck with, oh, it's just an exchange of money and then that's it. So it's also an exchange of value.
It sounds like being creative with the way you get, a reward for the work you do. We had an ideas cafe session yesterday, and there was a discussion around skill swap, you know, people using this time to actually get things done, maybe build their website, or, you know, record those videos and using other freelancers or founders to swap skills with each other and get the things done that otherwise would have cost them money. So being rewarded in different ways for the work they do.
Yeah. Again, it's the new economy, right? Bartering. That's the new economy as well.
I think for me, the thing that comes up is really understanding your position. And there are some people who, you know, they are, if they don't get money in, they won't put food on the table. And there is a dire need. But there's a lot of us, if we rethink it, maybe we'll have less money in the bank. Maybe we won't pay as much of our mortgage off. Maybe we're going to have to sell a couple of things. But it isn't life-threatening. And that you can reframe, that you can put a pause on things. And it comes down, I would assume, to the money stories that you have and where value what dictates value for you? And if you start measuring it in terms of the size of your bank balance, then you will be scared to see it.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's connecting to our needs, right? If you think of, oh, you know, I have a need to say, have this much amount in the bank because I fear that I wouldn't be able to survive or my family wouldn't be able to survive. And you can dig deeper into that. And where is this fear coming from? You know, what exactly is it that it's driving? You know, what need is driving that? And sometimes, you know, these are actually stories that we've had, you know, money stories, scarcity stories, experiences that we've had as a child. And not until we, you know, we get to have a clearer picture, we'll just continue the same, you know, same patterns.
Mm.
It's back to that self-knowledge bit.
Right. Makes me think maybe next week could be the money edition episode.
Money edition.
Yeah.
How to be happy with no money and how to make loads of it.
We can charge for that one. But no, it makes me think of I think it was Tom Nixon's workshop, was it, where he got us to write our money life story, particularly like the first part of our life, our childhood, like when did money become a thing, and just rewinding to maybe some events where, you know, you remember money coming into play in your relationships, particularly with parents. And it was really interesting going through that exercise because the stories I'd totally forgotten about of money being introduced or having to learn about it, and just life events that happened as a child and how money was a part of that and how that's framed the way I view money. And I'm sure we each have hang-ups from our families that we've taken with us on this journey.
How that,
particularly we found, like with co-founders as well, like if you have a different story of what money means to you, then you'll both react differently to how you build a business together. So I think this stuff's important, not just personally, but if you want to build organizations that are you understand how you make decisions and where those decisions come from,
and especially in a space of chaos, right? You'd want to be able to come from a space of decision making that is fully grounded, rather than just blurting out whatever it is that comes out of your mouth. So this is also that, you know, invitation of, hey, you know, we have the ability to review all these patterns, all these ways of reacting, you know, and then ask ourselves, are we going to continue with it? You know, is this what we, you know, are this what we're taking on till the new normal, you know, that we're trying to build right now? And I love in Charles Eisenstein's, in one of his talks, he said, you know, especially on the topic of sustainability, there, you know, in the sense of there is really no sustainability because what we're doing right now is not working. So if it's not working, then why are we continuing with it, right? So what is it that we can do right now to say, hey, is what I've been doing working? You know, is it working for myself? Is it working for the people I love? Is it working for the people that I'm serving? And if not, yeah, maybe that's the time to pivot, you know, time to look into things. Or if you say, oh, I just need a moment to just reflect, you know, and to just really figure things out, you know, what will be my next steps? What will be the things that I can offer? What is it that I can give value? Then it's a time to just give pause. So how are we allowing those, you know, for our daily lives, you know, how are we adding that in?
Exactly. Food for thought, everyone.
I'm conscious of time. We do have a question from Annette. So yeah, maybe we'll wrap up in 5 minutes.
Answer this question, then we can go maybe a little piece from each of us to wrap up. So the question we have from Matt, do you guys have a vocabulary list or framework to get to know fears, like the need vocabulary? Wow. The fears vocabulary. Do you have a fears vocabulary?
I can give the feelings wheel, the emotions wheel. That's a good place to start. So I'll share that in in the Mighty Network channel that we have Carlos and Lawrence, because that's a good place to just start. And yeah, with nonviolent communication, that's also a place where we're exploring feelings and needs. So there's a needs list that you can find. So if you look at, you look for nonviolent communication, you'll be able to find a needs list that we use. We actually have that in our toilet. You know, when I was ill, one of the anchors that I did for our family was to really practice the art of checking in. So we have a feelings and needs list that was posted in the toilet, and just a question of how are you feeling right now. So a perfect time to check in with yourself.
I think it should be a minute by minute practice for us all these days.
I just thought I'd add to that with your question, Annette. For me, fear is a feeling. And so that feeling of fear comes from something. So I'm not sure about a vocabulary list about the different fears. It feels like it's very much around the needs and where those needs, what, and then the work is then, what is that need tied to? Where does that need come from? And I think when we're talking about the money stuff, it's tied from an earlier experience that you haven't processed yet, I believe. And that's where this becomes really powerful when you want to then move forward with more confidence and clarity.
I was just going to say, I think it's also digging into what is it you are worried about, you know, because the fear is coming from maybe a situation or scenario you've not really thought about enough. So it could be money running out. What does that look like? So almost painting a picture of the worst case scenario for each of those scenarios, and actually maybe you would find a way out that isn't as bad as you think. So I would just ask why, you know, why are you feeling like that? What was that coming from?
And oftentimes when you explore this, you'd realize that it's either of two things, you know, what causes the fear are from the past or thoughts of the future. You know, it's those two different two different realities of either things that we've experienced from the past that are triggering us, or those that, you know, that are thoughts of the future that are triggering us. And when we really think about it, you know, we have this present moment that we can enjoy, you know, that we can fully sink into. And that's also where we can invite more presence, you know, there's more acceptance to the now. You know, what is it that I am feeling now? You know, what is it that I can do now?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So maybe to finish off, how are you currently navigating the chaos? Maybe each of us share what they're trying to do.
I would say mine is tuning in more with my elders, you know, my elders, you know, council of people who, are into like systems thinking, making sense making as a process. You know, I'm really diving deep into, okay, how can this, you know, how can this mindset be not just on a superficial level, but on a really deeper level? And how can I, you know, how can I be part of that? So for me, it's more of tuning into these elders that that I have in my circle of connections, and get, you know, collective wisdom, you know, harness that power of collective wisdom. I would like to share in one of the readings that was shared a while ago by a friend of mine. There was this from a systems thinker, you know, and I'll read it because it was so profound. And I'm like, oh, if we think of what is stillness, you know, it is an area within a complex system where a small shift in one thing can produce big changes in everything. So that is the leverage point that we are in. You know, it's an area within a complex system where a small shift in one thing can produce big changes in everything. So what we do right now can help us, you know, in the long run, and also set us off, you know, in our new normal.
Nice. Thank you, Lana. Awesome.
Follow Lawrence? That. I've just been doing lots of walks. Yeah, I wish I had an elders council to lean on. It sounds amazing. But no, for me, I think conversation, lots of conversation at the moment with different people, has been my way of navigating this. And to be honest, I don't really feel like I'm in chaos necessarily. Like, my life's not changed hugely at the moment. Me and my wife work at home a lot normally anyway. We just got more people around, and the bins are getting full up quicker. But there's been a real impact on our work. You know, we're having to think on our feet about all the events that we've got planned. And so we've been quite busy, I think, trying to navigate that, you know, navigate the things in our control, put it that way. And so for me, it's just been, yeah, being kind to myself by not overpacking the schedule with new things and trying to just deal with each day, really. Like you said, not trying to think too far into the future as much as we need to, and try not to look back and look at what we maybe had planned, and just working day by day, and each day feels like about a month at the moment. So yeah, not trying to be too hard on myself, because I think, yeah, we all have plans and those plans have radically changed.
Nice.
Carlos?
Yeah, so it's very much echoing a lot of what each of you said. For me, there's connection and conversation and how that can help. Compassion, accepting that you can't do everything. The other element for me is structure. Just having an element of structure to my day, so that there are things that I know are fixed points, even though the other things can be more fluid.
And so Mike called it yesterday scaffolding, isn't it?
Scaffolding. Yeah. It's simple for me. Is it like Lana, you got your journaling, Lawrence, you got your walking. I have an exercise routine that I try and do every single morning, and that I don't have to think about it. I just follow it mindlessly, and then after that I feel reset for the day, and then yeah, I can invite the chaos in.
Yes.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Lana, for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Lana.
My pleasure. It's always a pleasure talking with the two of you, and yeah, and contributing to the community.
Brilliant. Thanks everyone for listening and watching along with us. Appreciate your attention.
And Lana, quickly, if anyone wants to find out more about you, where do they go?
Oh, you can check out dreamcdo.org, or you can find me in LinkedIn. We can connect there.
Cool. Lana Yelenyev, you will find her. Or if you try and connect with myself or Lawrence, you'll see her in our connections as well.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks everyone for joining. Yeah, thank you, Emma, Carolina, Andre, Marina, Annette, Chris, and Azadazadazadav, whoever you are, for staying with us all this time. And look forward to seeing you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Happy Entrepreneur Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Also, if you'd like to learn more about being a happy entrepreneur and want to connect with more people like you, then go to our website, thehappystartupschool.com, and subscribe to our newsletter. Amongst many other things about business and life, we'll help you answer the following questions. How can I serve others by being myself? And how can I discover who I really am by serving others?